Attorneys for UNC Chapel Hill have been in court for the past 2 weeks to defend the university's race-conscious admissions practices. The plaintiff suing UNC is the advocacy group Students for Fair Admissions. The group has pursued several lawsuits opposing affirmative action at selective universities across the country. WUNC education reporter Liz Schlemmer has been following the case. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Dave.
So the plaintiff alleges that UNC Chapel Hill's admissions practices are not legal. What is allowed and what's not allowed when it comes to affirmative action in college admissions?
The guidelines for what colleges can and cannot do are set by precedent in court cases. Any use of race has to be narrowly tailored. It can't be formulaic, so you can't award points to applicants for being an underrepresented minority, for example. Here's David Hinojosa. He's an attorney who represents students defending UNC's practices.
You're not allowed to have race as a predominant factor. You're not allowed to have quotas. You're not allowed to racially balance. And in UNC's case, the plaintiff isn't alleging that they have a quota. Plaintiff does allege that they're using it as a predominant factor.
UNC says race is something that might tip the scale for an otherwise qualified candidate, but that it's not a predominant factor and that they're not doing anything outside the law.
So the plaintiff in this case, Students for Fair Admissions, has filed and so far lost two other lawsuits against affirmative action policies at Harvard and the University of Texas at Austin. Explain who this group is and what they're trying to accomplish.
I talked to their founder, Edward Bloom, and he showed me a Pew Research Center survey that reports 73% of Americans don't agree with the use of race in college admissions, including a majority of Hispanic and Black respondents to that survey. This group's mission is to end the use of race in college admissions nationwide. Now, that sounds like a pretty lofty goal. And their strategy to do this has been filing a series of lawsuits against the use of race at selective colleges. Here's the founder of Students for Fair Admissions, Edward Bloom.
It is our hope that one of our cases will eventually be taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court and the justices will strike down this divisive and polarizing part of students' application process.
The makeup of the court has changed since another of the Students for Fair Admissions cases went to the court in 2016. The Supreme Court sided with the university, but two of the justices who were in the majority opinion have since been replaced by Trump appointees.
So a lot of schools consider race in admitting students. Why did Students for Fair Admissions pick UNC Chapel Hill to file a lawsuit against?
I asked Edward Bloom about that. He said UNC Chapel Hill had filed a brief proactively against another of his cases against the University of Texas, Austin. And in that brief, UNC explained why one particular race-neutral alternative in Texas wouldn't work for UNC. The Texas legislature passed a law where students in the top 10% of their high school class could get automatic admission to in-state public universities. UNC Chapel Hill says they looked at that method and that it would slightly increase their diversity, but it would lower the academic quality of their students, especially their SAT scores, and that those measures are important to UNC's reputation. Here's Edward Bloom's response.
That was quite a bullseye that UNC painted on themselves. And that is, you know, one of the key reasons that Students for Fair Admissions targeted UNC in this litigation.
Okay, so that's Edward Bloom with Students for Fair Admissions. Now, Liz, you've been following this trial for the last 2 weeks. Who's been testifying?
Starting with Students for Fair Admissions, they have two main expert witnesses who are focused on the statistics. Peter Arcidiacono is a Duke economics professor, and he tries to quantify the advantage that an African-American or Latino candidate would have over a white or Asian-American student if you focus mainly on their GPA and their standardized test scores. UNC has witnesses that are trying to refute that argument and show that their admissions process is holistic, that it looks at the whole student. So their main witnesses are their own admission staff and an economist from Stanford who gives her own analysis of their admissions data. Her analysis found that UNC's use of race is not formulaic. Then you've got interveners in this case. These are UNC Chapel Hill students their purpose is to show the history of segregation and the current conditions for students of color. Their attorney, David Hinojosa, says their perspective is critical to understanding what UNC's admissions practices really mean for students. Here's Hinojosa.
It speaks volumes that not one student testified on the side of the student for fair admission.
So that's David Hinojosa, an attorney for various UNC students who testified. What kinds of testimony did the students give?
There were some themes in the things they had to say. They talked about the difficulty in navigating the applications process, especially as a first-generation student, if their parents hadn't attended college. They praised the diversity at UNC and what it meant to them to meet students from different backgrounds, but said that they wished that there was more diversity at UNC, that they sometimes felt tokenized, or that they had to be a representative for their race in their class, that they had to answer questions from students when they were sometimes the only person of color in a class. And ultimately, the message from their testimonies is that there's more work to be done when it comes to diversifying UNC Chapel Hill.
So Liz, testimony in the trial wrapped up this week. What happens next?
Now we wait. The judge will issue an opinion sometime in the next few months. Bloom said he's prepared to appeal if he loses, and then it would go to an appellate court. Just a week ago, Students for Fair Admissions lost its appeal in a case against Harvard, so that could now go to the Supreme Court if the Supreme Court wants to take it up.
Thanks, Liz.
You're welcome, Dave.
Liz Schlemmer is WUNC's education reporter.